Greetings. Welcome to Medium Podcast number 11, take 2. It's early April, so that means that we are a few weeks into self-isolation and optimistically, we have settled into a routine. I hope everyone has been doing well so far and that I'm sending positive vibes to everyone. My name is Adel, but you can call me Adele, and I was responsible for recording and editing the last few podcasts on Medium. By doing this podcast, it is also time to show to the masses why some behind-the-scenes members like editors should never host. When I started this podcast, I mentioned that this was podcast number 11, take 2. Just to be sure, actually, can we play that back? Greetings. Welcome to Medium Podcast number 11, take 2.
To Medium Podcast number 11, take 2.
Well, why is it take 2, nobody asked? Basically, the first version of the podcast was so bad that when I sent my friend a completely edited version for a test hearing, he sent me this voice note.
Man, you went from Harry Potter and acid to Franz Ferdinand to 9/11 to Hitler to Tom Clancy. Dude, how high were you?
If this wasn't obvious, this was a recreation from an actual phone call we had. Now, for the main event. Have you ever noticed when a world event happens, there's always something or someone who seems to have predicted it? When I have conversations with people where they talk about someone predicting something, it always reminds me of one of the funniest scenes from the acclaimed classic The Sopranos. And here's the clip.
You know, Quasimodo predicted all this.
Who did what?
All these problems, the Middle East, the end of the world.
Nostradamus. Quasimodo's the hunchback of Notre Dame.
Oh, right. Notre Dame.
Nostradamus and Notre Dame. It's two different things completely.
If you sometimes wonder why people like Nostradamus were good at predicting stuff, well, I got the answer for you. Nostradamus is just a very famous example. Heck, people already started talking about COVID-19 being predicted. So let's take a look at a few examples of moments that have been supposedly predicted. Wow, that was a bit of a mouthy. Anyways, this is something that has been circling around the internet the last month. It's become quite big that even celebrities have shared it. It's from a book called Eyes of Darkness. It was released in the 1980s by a best-selling author called Dean Koontz. The book specifies of a respiratory virus called Wuhan 400. In this, Wuhan 400 is actually a biological weapon created in the biological labs of Wuhan. I'd like to personally fact-check it by buying the book, but Medium does not seem to have the budget to buy a book for a 5-second segment. In fact, a 1-second segment. It's one sentence. So, for this moment, we're going to trust the internet. Another famous moment in history that has been said to be predicted was 9/11. There were so many things around, so many books, too many music videos or albums, whatever you call it. Apparently they all predicted 9/11. Just go on YouTube. However, we'll be looking at a book written by Tom Clancy. Tom Clancy, most recently known for having first-person shooter games based on his writings, had a book called Debt of Honor, in which it describes a Japanese terrorist flying into the US Capitol for terrorist reasons. For those who are not too familiar with the term, the US Capitol is the American Parliament building. It was a big deal at the time because Tom Clancy became a guest on news channels during 9/11. It must have been very strange for him to be discussing what he clearly wrote as fiction. However, I bet sales for the book were through the roof, or peaking at least. So he must have had conflicted feelings. Happy because sales, and sad, well, because the start of a never-ending war and terror. Another good example is the Bible. The Bible has apparently predicted a lot of end-of-world kind of moments. Can't forget The Simpsons. The Simpsons have seemed to have predicted way too many things since its inception. The list goes on, of course, and this podcast is running on a tight clock, so we're moving forward. Why do these predictions always seem true? Emphasis on the word seem here. I would like to compare these things to horoscopes. There is a very thin line between being vague and being specific. There is a sort of an art to that kind of writing. In a lot of cases, the writer holds back on a lot of detail in order to let the reader's imagination sort of take the front seat. Plus, the writer's creativity may be better used somewhere else if the particular part they're kind of predicting is not really important. So the trick is, you have to get that sweet spot where you give enough, but it's also open to interpretation. So it's the key is to make it vague enough. Another thing is, a lot of us hear about those things directly from other people. Sorry, not directly, we just hear it from other people. So other people tell us only what they want to hear, and context is just typically thrown out of the window. So we start playing a small game of Chinese whispers, or as some people know it as a broken telephone. We only look at the stuff that gives shock value, the parts which seem to match the real event, and therefore we never get the full picture. Think about it. Why did many literature classes look into the background of the author before reading certain stories? It's always important to add sweet context before reading the book. Now, this is not only common in these sorts of scenarios. The modern world we live in has a lot of examples of things being taken out of context for the sake of narratives. This is all in the framing of a story. I can imagine the only communication science student listening to this right now is groaning. Though taking out of context is a recurring issue in a world where clickbait is king, I bet Mercurius has a lot of clickbait articles too. Moving on. Okay, let us say all of these things fail and we can disprove this prediction. What happens now? A lot of people will tend to go to cognitive dissonance, so we start applying denial tactics. These predictions aren't always right because it's just a prediction. Anything can be easily twisted if we want to match the narrative. This is what Karl Popper liked to call historic prophecy when criticizing the Communist Manifesto, because the Communist Manifesto seemed to have applied to many events, which kind of showed how powerful communism is. You can actually, okay, I'm straying a bit off script or whatever, you can actually look at communism being applied in religious aspects, where, for example, Jesus was seen as a communist leader that was very well promoted in Cuba. Back to the topic. We break things down, just like the whole Cuba with Jesus being a communist thing, to suit our needs. We also start looking at a lot of just the common points and hammer on these points harder. And that's what sort of cognitive dissonance does. So you're like, oh, the prediction is not true, but what about this part? They're both the same. And just because one small thing is the same and everything else is different doesn't make it the same. But you see where I'm going with this. The last thing I wanted to share is something very important and is related to a few of the previous elements. A lot of these predictions are based on existing trends at the time. So sometimes these predictions are not necessarily predicting something new. Expecting chaos after stuff like pandemics seems to be the standard behavior. Also, especially in moments of crisis, a lot of people like to explore fiction about such events. Right now, pandemic movies are starting to become a subject of conversation again. Movies like Contagion are streaming constantly, or people are just talking about Contagion. That's one example. We take a lot of these similar fictional events and start looking for patterns. It's just what we do. It is no surprise that more people will find common patterns in other pandemic movies. So, to sum it up, we've talked about a few phenomena here. We've said that predictions can tend to be vague. A lot of them will lack context when they're being told. There's a lot of just focus on the similar aspects, ignoring the differences completely. And a lot of them were written at periods of trends, or there is a trending pattern. So those are four key elements that we need to remember. Now that class is over, it is time to start applying what we learned onto some examples that I mentioned earlier on. So, the virus. We've known that Wuhan had a biological lab since 1956. So the whole thing about a lab creating viruses, it's not new. Or creating viruses is new, but the lab isn't new. This is nothing special. Plus, what most likely happened was it makes for a good location for outbreaks to begin with in fictional settings. And possibly in real life. And I say that as I adjust my tinfoil hat. In this particular case, I would not be surprised if the writer chose Wuhan because he went to the library, found an encyclopedia, which had a list of random biological labs in Asia. Maybe the lab was also famous in the 80s, I don't know, but that's what most likely happened. So context is key. We now know that there was a lab there, so let's go back to Tom Clancy. He's an author that made a career by doing crazy action stories, just like the one he wrote about. Plus, we're talking about a terrorist attack in one of the most, a fictional terrorist attack, in one of the most important cities in the global political history, Washington, D.C. It is, in fact, and I do not condone this, the best place to commit acts of terror. Plus, the story has too many loopholes already. The terrorist in the book is Japanese. That was not the case in real life, as we know. It was done by Al-Qaeda. And also, the capital was never really targeted in 9/11. But people like to come back to this book and say it predicted 9/11, despite the building not being targeted and terrorist was of a different ethnicity. But my favorite thing about bringing this example was that there was an article while I was doing my research that titled, "Did Al-Qaeda Read Tom Clancy?" I mean, it is a possibility. I mean, yeah. So, out of the four lessons I mentioned, let's add a special case lesson number five. Lesson number five is, if you want predictions to happen, read the book that predicted the event and just commit the acts they suggest. But I thought this was particularly special because a lot of people tend to read books with predicting capabilities, not capabilities, but with predicting power. A lot of people read the Bible and then they see themselves reenacting certain elements of it, and then they're like, oh my God, the Bible has predicted this. I also wanted to add how certain predictions failed. Long story short, they fail when they're too specific. Hence, it makes it easier to falsify. Let us take a look at a movie where predictions failed hard. Back to the Future failed to predict a lot of stuff that happened in the last 10 years. It's a silly example, but let's just go with it, all right? Back to the Future's issue was that they were always very, very specific. Flying skateboards? That's not the Nostradamus way of predicting things. Also, I'd like to remove self-lacing shoes out of this because Nike followed the Al-Qaeda route and watched the movie first to make the shoes. All right? Just wanted to make that clear. Lastly, I wanted to bring out The Simpsons. I mentioned them earlier on, I'm mentioning them again. The Simpsons, well, they're an anomaly. Nobody can explain why and how they are able to predict things so well. I just firmly believe they're time travelers. And if anybody wants to call me out, well, I want to say that this is my show, and I say whatever opinion I want. If you've gotten this far and the fact that this has been published, I'd like to celebrate this because this was not an easy topic to cover. I'm actually quite proud of rewriting this segment and working to make it more effective. For that, I'd like to kind of raise a glass and just show you guys what the podcast was supposed to be like. The acclaimed take one. Before I show you the clip, this was Medium Podcast number 11, and I am Adil, the guy who comes from a small country called Bahrain, or as many people like to call it, where? This is the Medium quarantine log. I decided to record a podcast today because with the coronavirus, it's a good idea to get into podcasting and get into this market before it's too late. So, day five. Not much has happened. But Medium is still working, and that's what matters. But overall...